John chapter 14. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord makes no mistakes, even in the ordering of His Word, the giving of His Word, so that it happens that as we come together tonight into this place, on this day, having received the news and hearing of sorrow and grief, that we can turn to the Scriptures and find comfort. And here the Lord is comforting the disciples and answering their questions. Oh, let's turn here. John 14, and our prayer is the Lord would come and comfort our hearts again as we hear His Word. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto Him, Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. If ye had known Me, ye should have known My Father also. And from henceforth ye know Him and have seen Him. Philip saith unto Him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known Me, Philip? He that hath seen Me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of Myself, but the Father that dwelleth in Me, He doeth the works. Believe Me that I am in the Father, and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, He that believeth on Me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto My Father. Whatsoever ye shall ask in My name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in My name, I will do it. If ye love Me, keep My commandments. And I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, for He dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth Me no more. But ye see Me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in Me, and I in you. He that hath My commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth Me. And he that loveth Me shall be loved of My Father. And I will love him, and will manifest Myself to him. Judas saith unto Him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that Thou wilt manifest Thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love Me, he will keep My words, and My Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. He that loveth Me not keepeth not My sayings, and the word which ye hear is not Mine, but the Father's which sent Me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye loved me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Amen. And may the Lord grant us that peace and comfort through the Holy Ghost this night. Here we have Christ comforting the hearts of the troubled disciples. Their hearts were troubled because we know that Christ was going to leave them. He made that clear to them. He also told them that one would betray him. One of their own company would betray him. Peter would deny him. And in light of these things, their hearts were troubled. Last week we were looking at some of the reasons that Christ gave to them to comfort their hearts, why he had to leave them. The Lord Jesus shares with them reasons why he had to leave them. He had to go in order to prepare that permanent abiding place for them. He had to leave them because he wanted them to know the Father in a greater way, that they might have the privilege of prayer granted unto them, seeking the Lord for the work that they had been called to. He wanted them to know the comfort of the Holy Spirit. He had to leave in order to the sending of the Holy Spirit. He had to leave them, and yet he promised that he would grant them his peace, even in the world. And Christ comforts the hearts of these disciples by answering their questions. Christ Jesus, our Lord, has the answers to man's most perplexing questions. You see that here in this chapter. The hearts of the disciples were filled with sadness. They were troubled. They had many questions for which they sought answers. Just look at their questions. Look back to chapter 13 and the verse 36. Here you have Simon Peter. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither goest thou? Next it was Thomas. In chapter 14 and the verse 5. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Then Philip comes with that word of protest that they had not known the Father. And he says there in verse 8, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And then Judas in verse 22, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Lord, where goest thou? Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? These were their questions, and they needed answers. Life doesn't always make sense. There are peaks and there are valleys. Sometimes we traverse the veil of tears. Sometimes we do not understand what is happening. Sometimes we do not know which way to turn. Did not Christ say to them previously in chapter 13 and verse 7, "What I do now thou knowest not"? We don't understand what the Lord is doing at times. From our perspective, from the human perspective, life doesn't always make sense. It's a great mystery to us. And as you look at these questions, as you analyze these questions that the disciples had, if we look carefully at these questions, we discover that they are the same questions humanity still asks. They are the questions that pertain to life, its meaning, its purpose, its end. Questions we all ask at times. Why are we here? Where are we going? What is life really all about? How can I know God? Is there a God? What is God doing? Lord, whither goest thou? We know not the way. These are profound questions. And yet we see from this chapter, Christ has the answers to life's most difficult questions. Jesus Christ has the answers we need, and they are trustworthy answers. I said last week that the Lord Jesus Christ doesn't just pat us on the back and say, "Don't worry, everything will be all right," without giving us reasons, grounds of comfort, solid answers, real answers, satisfying answers. He gives us real answers that our hearts might be comforted, knowing His peace. The Word of the living God is the ground of our assurance. Here you have the Word incarnate, Christ Himself giving answers to His disciples. And if you and I, if we need and if we want answers to the questions that perplex us, if we want answers to the questions of life, where are we to go today? What are we to do? We're to look to the Word of God, to His truth, His way that tells us the way to life. 2 Timothy 3 and the verse 16 and 17, we read of Scripture, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, for this purpose, that the man of God may be perfect, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." God has given to us His Word. And here is the Word incarnate answering the questions of His disciples. And when we need answers to the questions that perplex us, we're directed to turn to the Word of the living God. Spiritual answers cannot be deduced by human reason alone. Often we are baffled. Often our rationale fails. Indeed, all the skeptical or speculative theories and philosophies of men and their wisdom fall short and leave us with nothing certain, nothing absolute. Man can and has solved many incredible problems. You look at the ingenious things that men have created in this world, the technology that surrounds us. Men have solved incredible problems in their various fields with regard to science or medicine or mathematics, space travel, computer age, many great things have been accomplished. And still, the meaning of life eludes the natural man. Those who pursue that meaning from a logical, rational, humanistic perspective, they fail to find the meaning of life. They're always learning, Paul said of those in 2 Timothy 3, verse 7, they're always learning but never coming to a knowledge of the truth. Because human wisdom is blind and unable to perceive the things of God. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14, we read, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Man by nature understands not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. The natural man cannot find truth in the natural realm. Indeed, in the spiritual realm, because he's dead in his sin. Blind to the things of God. The Word of God, however, is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, calling to life dead sinners. Ephesians 5:14, we read, wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. He's the Lord of life and light. And he has given to us his word. The word of the living God. And there is power in the word. It's a transforming, life-changing word that has the answers that we need. And that's why God's word is so vitally important to the Christian life. It gives us the answers we seek and need. It is God's full and final revelation to mankind. God has said what we need to know in His Word. God has said all that we need to know in His Word. He has revealed Himself by His Word to us. Christ, the incarnate Word, answers their questions here. And so, as we turn to the Word of God, we have answers to our questions. The Lord grants peace to their troubled hearts. A peace not like the world's peace. The peace of this world is shallow. It is temporary. It does not abide. But the peace that Christ gives is abiding peace, satisfying peace, eternal peace. Verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord grants peace to the troubled heart. He comes to answer our questions. And you notice here, as you look at those questions, you notice how each one of the disciples addressed Christ. Lord. Lord, whither goest thou? Lord, we know not whither thou goest. Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How did they address him? They addressed him as Lord. And it's only as we acknowledge Jesus Christ as our own Lord and Master, bowing humbly before Him, inquiring as to the right way, the true way of life, will He show us the way, the truth, and the life. He alone has the answers we need. He must be Lord of our life. He must reign supreme. And the Word must be mixed with faith. You see that here. The Word must be mixed with faith if we are to profit by it. Hebrews chapter 4 and the verse 1 talks about The word being no prophet because it was not mixed with faith. Hebrews 4 in the verse 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear, lest the promise being left us of entering into His rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. If we want answers, we go to the Word. The Word is to be believed. It is a trustworthy Word. And what does the Lord say here in this chapter? He says, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. Believe in God, believe Me. I am God. And as you look through the chapter again, He says in verse 10, believest thou? Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in Me? Verse 11, believe Me that I am in the Father and the Father in Me, or else believe Me for the very work's sake. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these. And again in verse 29, He says, and now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. The Word being mixed with faith. Oh, there's the need for answers. The need for trustworthy answers in uncertain times. These were uncertain times. They were ignorant. They didn't understand. Their ideals were turned upside down. Things were not as they thought they should be. They were perplexed, troubled in heart, confused. And in their confusion, they protest that they do not know the way. They did not understand the Lord's leading. There were trials ahead for them. Danger lay around the corner. The cross before them. The cross of Christ. Imminent death. In the face of imminent death, the cross before them, Christ instructs them here how their minds were to be occupied with things, not on the earthly level, but things on the heavenly level. I go to prepare a place for you. In My Father's house are many mansions. In the face of imminent death, their minds were occupied with things of eternity. And the answers that Christ gives to them speak of eternal things. When you come to die, what is it that will give you peace? Where will you be? These are the things that occupy the thoughts of men when they come near to the end of their days, when they come to die. Because God has set eternity in our hearts. We know there is life beyond the grave. This life is to be a time of preparation for eternity. We've been reminded again of that today. We have a short time to prepare for eternity. And what is it that will give you peace when you come to the end of days, when you come to die? Christ has the answers. How can we know peace? We begin by knowing Christ. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me. By faith in the Savior. By faith in Christ, we are justified by being rightly related to God, brought into union with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ by the blood of the cross. And I tell you, there's no hope for humanity, for eternity, apart from Jesus Christ. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent. To know the Lord Jesus then is to have peace. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Wherein we rejoice in the standing that we have and the glorious hope for eternity. There's peace. Peace with God. There's the peace of God. Being reconciled, the Lord gives us peace. We're no longer at enmity. There's no longer that hostility. We're at peace with God and we have the peace of God. The peace of God that keeps the heart and the mind. A peace that passeth all understanding. The peace that the world does not give. A peace that the world does not know. And the Lord Jesus Christ tells us here, heaven, that eternal abiding place, is for those who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. For them alone. Every one of those who believe will be brought into that eternal abiding place, Christ says here. They will be received by the Father. For them, Christ prepares a place. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. They would be there. When they come to that place, He will receive them. They will be received of the Father. And the way to God, to know Him, is through the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith in Jesus Christ. The children of God have hope and comfort and peace for this life and the life to come. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:19, if in this life we have hope in Christ only, we are of all men most miserable. But this life is not the end. Eternity is set before us. 2 Timothy 1:10 says, but now is made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This is life eternal, that ye might know Him. You will be at home with Christ. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. Eternity. At home with Christ. For the believer, this world is not our home. This world is not our abiding place. This world is not our final resting place. Christ goes before to prepare a place that upon arrival there, we would be at home. By the fact of His presence with us, an eternal abiding place. Psalm 16 and the verse 11 says, Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. And at Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. There is that eternal rest. At home with Christ for all eternity, forever and forever. Heaven is the place for those who believe on Jesus Christ. And if you want to be at home with Christ on that day, at home with Christ for eternity, He must reside within your heart presently. You must know Him. Know Him now. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians 3 and the verse 17. This is the prayer of the Apostle Paul for the Ephesians. That God would grant them according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And then he says, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Eternity is to be at home with Christ. To be at home with Christ for eternity, He must reside within your heart presently. He must dwell within you, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Is Christ at home in your heart? Is your heart His dwelling place? Does He inhabit the recesses of your heart? Romans 8, we read in verse 8, "So they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." The Spirit of God abides within the heart. He comes to reside within the heart and the life of the believer. Is Christ at home in your hearts? The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, Paul says here. If you are to be at home with Christ, to know the peace of God that passes all understanding, Christ must dwell in your heart. Christ indwells every believer. The word dwell there has the idea of settling down, inhabiting, being at home. That's what it means. Paul referred to this relationship, to the indwelling Christ, when he wrote in Galatians chapter 2 and the verse 20, "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." He dwells within me. And this is what Paul prayed for the Ephesians. And this is what I pray for each and every one gathered here. That you would know Christ by faith. He would dwell in your hearts, that He might be truly at home. Not just a guest, not just once a week coming to visit His house, but being at home with Christ. He would reside within. He would be truly the Lord of our lives, reigning supreme. And when we have received Him as Savior, He comes to permanently indwell us, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, ye being rooted and grounded in love. Christ has the answers to the most perplexing questions of life. The things that have to do with eternity, the things of man and his spiritual needs, his soul. Christ has trustworthy answers. Look to His Word, the absolute truth of God, that we might know the way to life in His Word, the peace of God that passes all understanding. If we are to be at home with Christ in that place that He has gone to prepare for us, that eternal abiding place, so we must know Him, believe Him. Let not your heart be troubled. Don't be tossed about with every wind of doctrine, with every speculative theory of man, with the wisdom of this world. You'll never find peace. You'll continue to be troubled. The Lord says, believe in God. Believe me. I am the way, the truth, and the life.